Wasn't that gorgeous? Jesus, the name above all names?
Amen.
That's right. That's why we come here to worship today. We come and we get re-energized and refreshed and renewed with the power of Jesus. And we take it with us when we leave this place and go into our homes and businesses and places of work where we see people. We carry that name of Jesus with us all the time. Welcome to the service of worship at Calvary United Methodist. I'm Pastor Esther Robinson, and I will be your servant today. If you are worshiping with us for the first time, I think we have some visitors, some guests who are with us. We want you to feel at home and welcome among us. We're very glad to have you as part of our family. As soon as you walk in those doors, you become one of us, part of the family. And we try to send ourselves, we are sent by God, that is, outside our walls to bring you here, to worship. Let us begin our worship this morning with the passing of the peace of Christ. May the peace of Christ be with you. Greet your neighbor. Peace. Peace. So sorry. With you, Jim. Peace be with you. Peace be with you. Thank you. And also with you. Hello, peace be with. Thank you, and also with you. I know.
Warm heart.
Right. Ben, peace be with you. Peace be with you, Cora. Mwah. Peace be with you, Margie.
I'm looking for peace. A man for a peppermint or
Florida, how are you? Good to see you. Thank you. Oh, thank you. Thank you. Mert, peace be with you.
Well, this sure does look like a happy place to be, doesn't it, Calvary? Amen.
Amen. Peace be with you.
And with you.
Thank you.
Look at that little girl.
I know it. And she's praying so good. She is.
Well, good morning, Calvary.
Good morning.
Welcome, welcome. My name is Robin Stowers, and I will be your liturgist for the month of November. And always ready to serve in any way. If I can help, just let me know. First of all, this morning, I would like to focus your attention to our beautiful altar this morning. We have a beautiful cornucopia display, which represents God's bounty. And we are invited to share our bounty. And so as a congregation and all of that, we're invited to bring food. You can see, and can you see it in front of the altar here? This month, you are invited to bring your food and place it in front of the altar. And at the end of the month or during the week, it'll go into the food bank. So that's just another way, especially this time of November, to remember God's bounty and to share it with those who are less fortunate. And speaking of that, sharing food, thank you, Calvary. This is from the food bank. We had a total of 408 items donated for the month of October. 260 of those items donated last week. Remember the Fighting Hunger Challenge? And what a blessing that was. Even though the challenge from Ameris Bank is over, that does not mean that the challenge to feed people is over. So please continue to pray and provide for our food bank, which is operating every other Friday out of the church. And there again, you know, there's plenty of meals right here with pasta and pasta sauce. So that's all good things. And if you need bread or know of anybody who needs bread, you can visit the kitchen. The kitchen is loaded with bread, and I believe there's a cart in the hallway as well. So please visit the kitchen and take home some fresh, good bread. The bread of life. Mm-mm-mm. Okay, let's get with some more announcements here this morning. On your bulletins, if you will check the back of your bulletins, we need to let you know that our vendor craft fair that was scheduled for this Saturday, November 7th, has been canceled. So you may see it on your bulletin, but please know that it has been canceled. Okay? Everybody got that? Very good. Guess what? The newsletters are out. I encourage everyone to get your newsletter and take it home and read it. There's a lot of stuff going on between now and Christmas. We've got Thanksgiving and Advent and potluck and Christmas Eve service and the decorating of the church. It's a busy time for the church. And you know what? We want the family of God to come out and participate. We are doing all of this for God's glory. And I would love to see a lot of people come to What You Can. When we have the greening of the church, we have a new Christmas tree that has been donated. And so she's going to be going up here in the corner. And I just think it's an exciting time. And I would just love to see many, many smiling faces to come and help us do those sorts of things to make God's house look festive. All because He is the reason for the season. Okay. All right, for W.E. Cherry for the month of November. Oh, it's November. Happy November. It's already the 1st of November. And the new items this month are the wide-ruled notebook paper and washable markers. None of those Sharpie things that are not washable, okay? Washable markers. Also, year-round, we need to remember that they are in need of new socks, underwear, and like sweatpants or gym pants, if you can maybe throw some of those in the box. That's our items for the month of November. And also, the church is selling entertainment books. Who's got one already? You got some. And Nancy has some for sale. You know what? They make a great Christmas gift, okay? And you can go online and register, and you can use them. You can give them to people in other states because you can use them world, or not worldwide, but nationwide. Okay. So don't forget that. Coupons, if you have coupons, please, the food pantry is asking that you bring those coupons for diapers and things so that we can hand those out at the food bank. And I know I did welcome everyone, but we are really glad you're here. And if you are visiting with us, we are really happy that you're here. And we hope that you will find us friendly and loving and want to come back to worship our Lord and Savior. Also, if you have a prayer request or a need or a praise report, please fill those out so that we can make acknowledgement of that. And also your salty service. Please, if you've done something that is outside the church, you know what that's about, please put that in the offering plate as well. Do we have any other announcements from the community? Yes. Oh.
This is concerning the young adult class that's been meeting on Sundays. There's been no one showing up, and I've been trying to entertain myself for the past 4 weeks. So we're going to suspend the meetings for now. If anyone is interested in restarting the classes, please contact the church office, and Sue will give you my contact information. Please give me a call, and we'll get it going when the interest is there. So it's not gone away. It's just kind of up in the air for now. Thank you.
Thank you, Andy. And someone had their hand up. Yes, ma'am.
Good job, Thomas.
$30. $30. Okay. And now I would like to have Ron Coleman come with a very special announcement.
Good morning, everyone. It is a pleasure to be here this morning. I'd like to take just a minute or two to acknowledge someone among us who is very special to us. As a matter of fact, she is with us practically every Sunday, with rare occasions when she's absent. And I'll prelude this with my legitimate excuse of intending to do this last week, However, I was not here in attendance. So we'd like to honor our pastor this morning. October, absolutely, thank you. October of every year, practically every year, is Pastor Appreciation Month throughout the United States. And so with that in mind, we certainly do appreciate our pastor, not just on or during Pastor Appreciation Month, but every month of the year.
Amen.
And we can all do our own thing to appreciate our pastor, but I'll give you some hints as to how you might join in and show her your appreciation, sometimes in her presence and sometimes without her presence being necessary. And I say that with this in mind, you can pray for her.
Yes.
If you pray for our pastor, that is the
Amen.
Greatest gift that she could ever receive. So please pray for our pastor. And you can also imitate her faith. We should all learn from our pastors, and we should put into practice the faith that we see displayed in her. The writers of Hebrews say to obey our leaders and submit to their authority. And we should do that, especially when we are in God's church and led by godly leaders like Pastor Esther. And remember this one thing, and I'll conclude with this as far as pointers. A pastor never checks out. A pastor is busy working full-time all the time, 24/7. So let's all encourage her, let's love her, let's support our pastor as she seeks to faithfully fulfill all the duties of her ministry. Amen?
Amen.
And I'd like to end with this short poem. And we have a special tribute for her from all of you, from all of us here in Calvary, on behalf of the Staff Parish Relations Committee. Pastor Esther, our God has sent you to this place to lead us in the way that he would have us work and think and live from day to day. No matter the hour, whatever the need, you go the extra mile, always ready and willing to share, and always with a smile. Mm-hmm. We're grateful that you're here with us to teach us from his word, and we will try to do our best in our service to the Lord. Mm. We thank you for your ministry, your guidance, and your care. His greatest blessings for your life is our most humble prayer. Amen?
Amen.
Amen.
Thank you.
Thank you, Pastor.
Thank you.
God loves you, and so do we.
Thank you. I just want to say all the feelings are returned. I love you. Thank you very much. Amen. If you would, join me in the worship elements found in your bulletin this morning. I looked over Jordan, that river we all will eventually cross. I could see the saints singing and dancing. I saw Grandpa fishing in the crystal sea. I heard Grandma humming in the kitchen.
Oh Lord, what a vision.
There were countless others, all faithful disciples gathered worshiping. That old man who sang solos in the choir. That young man whose life was cut short in that accident.
Oh Lord, what a vision.
But the most amazing thing I saw as I looked over Jordan.
Yes, yes.
Was the man standing in the shallows, smiling, saying,
Welcome home.
Amen.
Amen.
If you would please stand and turn to page 533
in your hymnals. We'll sing We Shall Overcome.
We shall overcome. We shall.
shall all be free. The Lord will see us through.
The Lord will see us through. The Lord will see us through. The Lord will see us through. Someday, oh, deep in my heart.
Everybody here today, Zachary and Bradley. I have something to show you. What is this? A black line, a big, thick black line. I'm not real artistic. I can barely draw a straight line, but I did it. No, it's not a road. It's a black line, just like you said, a big black line. And which way does it start? It can start on either side. And then it goes to the other side, and that's the end. It's just one line like this. It has a beginning and an end. But if I do this, what happens to it? It becomes a circle, right? And does it have a beginning and an end? It doesn't have a beginning and an end. It's complete in itself, right around there. And that's the way we think of God. We think of God as being eternal, with no beginning and no end. And the way we say that, the way the Bible says that, is God is the Alpha and Omega. God is the Alpha and Omega. God is eternal, with no beginning and no end. And you and I, we have many beginnings and many endings. Lots of beginnings in our lives and lots of endings take place in our lives. But even when we leave this earth, we go on to eternal life. And so our lives continue on, and we have eternal life. Now, today is All Saints Sunday, and we think of those people who have gone on before us to their eternal life. And while we're sad that they're no longer on earth anymore, we know that they live on with God. And we rejoice with them in their eternal life. And that's what I want you to remember today. Our lives, like God, are eternal. And we live with God always. And I want you to bow your heads with me as we have a prayer. You are the beginning and the end, O Lord. You go on and on. Help us to be your saints, to share your love on and on, on and on. Amen. And now I have some candy to give you. You can pick one of these. Pick one of these. There you go. There you go. You're welcome. Will the ushers please come forward as we continue to worship God this morning with the presentation of our tithes and offerings. Let us pray. Oh, Lord God, you are in all our beginnings and our endings, and we praise you, dear God, today and every day. Help us to be your faithful servants in all that we do and all that we are as we share our gifts. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
sanctuary.
Gotta open up your mouth and give him praise. Open up your heart and give him praise. Lift up holy hands, unashamed. Sing, sing, sing.
Gotta open up your mouth and give him praise. Open up your heart and give him praise. Lift up holy hands, unashamed. In the sanctuary. Gotta open up your mouth and give him praise. Open up your heart.
Makes me want to sing.
Got a spot.
Page 12 in your hymnals begins the service of word and table with an invitation and a confession and pardon. And you respond to, we have the unison confession and the pardon. Responsively, printed in bold. Christ our Lord invites to his table all who love him, who earnestly repent of their sin and seek to live in peace with one another. Therefore, let us confess our sin before God and one another. Merciful God, we confess that we have not loved you with our whole heart. We have failed to be an obedient church. We have not done your will. We have broken your law. We have rebelled against your love. We have not loved our neighbors, and we have not heard the cry of the needy. Forgive us, we pray. Free us for joyful obedience through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Hear the good news. Christ died for us while we were yet sinners. That proves God's love toward us. In the name of Jesus Christ, you are forgiven.
In the name of Jesus Christ, you are forgiven.
Glory to God. Amen.
Our scripture this morning is found in Ruth chapter 1, verses 1 through 18. In the days when the judges ruled, there was a famine in the land, and a certain man of Bethlehem in Judah went to live in the country of Moab. he and his wife and his two sons. The name of the man was Elimelech, and the name of his wife, Naomi. And the names of his two sons were Mahlon and Chilion. They were Ephraimites from Bethlehem in Judah. They went into the country of Moab and remained there. But Elimelech, the husband of Naomi, died, and she was left with her two sons. These took Moabite wives. The name of the one was Orpah, and the name of the other, Ruth. When they had lived there about 10 years, both Mahlon and Chilion also died, so that the woman was left without her two sons and her husband. Then she started to return with her daughter-in-laws from the country of Moab, for she had heard in the country of Moab that the Lord had considered his people and given them food. So she set out from the place where she had been living, her and her two daughter-in-laws, and they went on their way to go back to the land of Judah. But Naomi said to her two daughter-in-laws, "Go back, each of you, to your mother's house. May the Lord deal kindly with you, as you have dealt with the dead and with me. The Lord grant that you may find security, each of you, in the house of your husband." Then she kissed them, and they wept aloud. They said to her, "No, we will return with you to your people." But Naomi said, "Turn back, my daughters. Why will you go with me? Do I still have sons in my womb that they may become your husbands? Turn back, my daughters. Go away, for I am too old to have a husband. Even if I thought there was no hope for me, and even if I should have a husband tonight and bear sons, would you then wait until they were grown? Would you then refrain from marrying? No, my daughters, it has been far more bitter for me than for you, because the hand of the Lord has turned against me." Then they wept out loud. Orpah kissed her mother-in-law, but Ruth clung to her. So she said, "See, your sister-in-law has gone back to her people and to her gods. Return after your sister-in-law." But Ruth said, "Do not press me to leave you or to turn back from following you. Where you go, I will go. Where you lodge, I will lodge. Your people shall be my people, and your God, my God. Where you die, I will die. There will I be buried. May the Lord do thus and so to me, and more as well, if even death part from you." When Naomi saw that she was determined to go with her, she said no more to her. The living word of God for the people of God.
In a time of famine, Elimelech and his wife Naomi and their two sons left Bethlehem for the land of Moab. Elimelech died in this foreign land, and his two sons married Moabite women. After 10 years, both sons died also, and all of Naomi's hope was cut off. In the days of Naomi and her family, it was a man's world. A woman had no possibility of making a livelihood on her own to support herself. A woman's only hope was in finding a man who would marry her. Women were expected to keep house and produce children. Since Naomi's husband died, and she was too old to have any more children, and her two sons died without her daughters-in-law having produced any children, Naomi's life was a failure in the eyes of her culture. And so, as a result, she made the hard decision to return to Bethlehem, where she could at least live out the rest of her days surrounded by her own family and kinfolk. But she had no sooner set her face to do this than her widowed daughters-in-law appeared on her doorstep, begging her to take them with her. But she told them how it was going to be. Even if she could manage to find another husband, she said, she was too old to have two more sons. What were her daughters-in-law supposed to do? Wait around hoping for her to do the impossible? To have two more sons who would grow into men so that the girls could marry them? The truth was, Orpah and Ruth would have a better chance of finding another husband if they stayed in Moab with their own people. So one of the daughters-in-law, Orpah, kissed Naomi goodbye and went on her way. But the other one, Ruth, spoke those poetic and memorable words. She said, "Entreat me not to leave you or to turn back from following you. For wherever you go, I will go. And wherever you lodge, I will lodge. Your people shall be my people, and your God my God. Where you die, I will die. There will I be buried. The Lord do so to me, and more also, if anything but death parts you and me." From Ruth chapter 1, verses 16 and 17. What makes this speech of Ruth's so beautiful is that it is about the very highest of human emotions, love and loyalty. And they come from the heart of one who possesses the very highest character trait, faith. So what is faith? And what good does it do someone like Ruth or Naomi? How does it put a roof over a person's head or bread on the table? Here was Naomi, defeated and hopeless because her husband had died, her only sons had died childless, and there was no prospect of Naomi ever having any more children herself. Her genetic line had come to an end. There would be no grandchildren to carry on the family name. In the words of the ancient mindset, Naomi's reproach among women was almost too hard to bear. And let's not forget Ruth. She had lived 10 years with Naomi's son, Mahlon, and had failed to conceive. Now she was a widow and no longer young. What was she to do? And what she did was to act in faith and loyalty. She counted on love. She put all her hope on Naomi, her mother-in-law. And not only on Naomi, but on Naomi's God. She declared that she belonged to Naomi. Your people shall be my people, and your God my God. What does it mean to act in faith? In the book of Hebrews, it says that faith is to trust in the substance of things hoped for, on the evidence of things not seen. In the case of Ruth, it meant that she trusted in that unseen thing called character and loyalty. Up until this point in the story of Ruth and Naomi, we know little about Naomi's character. But it is obvious that Naomi's character had impressed Ruth, and Ruth would not leave her. I think about the character of people who have impressed me in my life, and why they have impressed me. There have been many, and some of you are right here in this congregation. I'm thinking of right now, though, about Pope Francis. I have found myself completely enthralled with this man. He is truly, to me, a holy man. Now, when he was visiting this country, did you watch as people lined up along the streets to get a glimpse of him in person? It was on television. Did you watch as he repeatedly zeroed in on a child or a person with disabilities? Every time he goes among the people, he goes out of his way to speak to and touch the least of these in the crowd. I am moved, deeply moved by his pastoral heart. He is bold and fearless and brilliant, but at the same time he is humble and gentle and compassionate. And never in my life have I had so much hope for the future of the Christian faith, as I've felt since Francis took the papal office. Truly, he deserves his title and position as a world leader for such a time as this. Isn't it utterly amazing what faith can do? Faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. Faith is a very powerful thing. Sometimes people make the mistake of thinking that faith is a matter of believing in facts, just like the fact that God exists or the fact that Jesus is the Son of God. But that's not what faith is about. Faith is not a matter of just believing that a certain person or being exists, it is a matter of believing in that person or being. It is a matter not only of believing in the non-substantial thing called character, but of being so attracted to that character that you want to belong to that person, as Ruth wanted to belong to Naomi and to Naomi's God. Faith is to choose to belong to someone else because that person is gracious and steadfast and has great character. So I think that we should say that faith is not so much about believing as it is about belonging. Ultimately, faith is about belonging to God. But are we not first led to pursue a relationship with God by people of character? People who not only believe in God, but who are committed to God and show us the very character of God by the way they live and love. We are led to God by people who belong to God. On this All Saints Day, as we think about the story of Ruth and Naomi, let us remember and celebrate the saints we've known who belong to God and whose commitment, character, and witness have led us on the path to follow God revealed in Jesus Christ. May God bless these words and his holy name. Amen. Amen. Will you all turn in your bulletins, if you would, to pages 15 and 16 and follow along with the responses of the people. My words will be slightly different than the ones you have there, but the responses are the same. for the great Thanksgiving this morning. And I like to say and make it clear that this is not a Methodist table. It doesn't belong to me or any of the other church leaders here today. Guess what? It belongs to God. And God invites all to God's table. Amen. All are welcome to share in the bounteous gifts of our good and loving God. The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
Lift up your hearts.
Lift them up to the Lord.
Let us give thanks to the Lord our God.
It is right to give our thanks and praise.
It is right and a good and joyful thing, always and everywhere, to give thanks to you, God Almighty, Creator of heaven and earth, God of Abraham and Sarah, God of Miriam and Moses, God of Joshua and Deborah, God of Ruth and David, God of the priests and the prophets, God of Mary and Joseph, God of the apostles and the martyrs, God of our mothers and our fathers, God of our children to all generations. And so, with your people on earth and all the company of heaven, we praise your name and join their unending hymn. Holy, holy, holy Lord, God of power and might, heaven and earth are full of your glory. Hosanna in the highest. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Hosanna in the highest. Holy are you, and blessed is your Son, Jesus Christ. By the baptism of his suffering, death, and resurrection, you gave birth to your church, delivered us from slavery to sin and death, and made with us a new covenant by water and the Spirit. On the night in which he gave himself up for us, he took bread, gave thanks to you, broke the bread, gave it to his disciples, and said, "Take, eat. This is my body, which is given for you. Do this in remembrance of me." On the same night when the supper was over, he took the cup, gave thanks to you, gave it to his disciples, and said, "Drink from this, all of you. This is my blood of the new covenant, poured out for you and for many for the forgiveness of sins. Do this as often as you drink it in remembrance of me." And so, in remembrance of these, your mighty acts in Jesus Christ, we offer ourselves in praise and thanksgiving as a holy and living sacrifice, in union with Christ's offering for us as we proclaim the mystery of faith. Christ has died. Christ is risen. Christ will come again. Pour out your Holy Spirit on us gathered here and on these gifts of bread and wine. May they be for us the body and blood of Christ, that we may be for the world the body of Christ redeemed by his blood. And renew our communion with all your saints, especially those whom we name before you, even silently or aloud, who have gone on to heaven since last year. Ed Lane, John Killebrew, Lucy Gilmore. Since we are surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses, strengthen us to run with perseverance the race that is set before us, looking to Jesus, the pioneer and perfecter of our faith. By your Spirit, make us one with Christ, one with each other and one in ministry to all the world, until Christ comes in final victory and we feast at his heavenly banquet. Through your Son, Jesus Christ, with the Holy Spirit in your holy church, all honor and glory is yours, Almighty God, now and forever. Amen. The choir will come to be served first, and then the ushers will direct you to come and kneel and to receive God's gifts.
starts on a D.
Thank you.
If you'd stand and turn in your hymnals to page 706, we'll sing soon, very soon.
God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit, may He rest and abide with you now and always, even to the end of the age. Amen.
We exalt Thee.